Being recorded. If anybody has any objections, you would disconnect at this time. Thank you. You may now continue.
Okay, welcome to everyone to this call, the first one of this group, although there's been a great amount of discussion, very good discussion on the list. Cheryl Langdonore and myself are co-chairing this meeting. Heather Dryden is on holiday and will be for a couple weeks, so she won't have access, I understand, while she's gone. It looks like we have a pretty good variety of participants from different organizations. Liz or Marika, I wonder if I could get you to go through the list of people identified in the Adobe Connect room, and then we will also identify anybody who can't get into Adobe Connect so that we can identify them as well. If we could just find out what organizations they're from, and let me qualify that. It does not mean you're representing that organization. We would just like to know where you're from. Whether it be the GNSO, the ALAC, the GNSO, the CCNSO, or just an individual, whatever that may be. I think all of us are probably participating in our individual capacities for the most part. That may vary by individual, but Liz, can you do that, or Marika?
May we ask Glenn to take the role, please?
Oh, sure.
Thanks.
That'd be fine.
She sounds better than I do.
Sorry, was that me you asked, Liz?
Yes, Glenn, please.
Yes, certainly, with pleasure. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. On this first call, we have Mary Wong, Ken Stubbs, Alan Greenberg, Joseph. Yes, and shall I tell you from where they are? Yes, I'm terribly sorry, Chuck.
Yes, please.
Mary Wong, NCSG, GNSO Council, Ken Stubbs Registries, Stakeholder Group, Alan Greenberg, ALAC, Jonathan Frakes, individual, John Nevitt, Commercial and Business Users Constituency, Dirk Krishkinovsky, individual, Olivier Crepin-Leblon, ALAC, Stuart Lawley, individual, but I believe, do you want me to add to their affiliations, Chuck, if they are individuals?
Sure, that would be okay. You don't need to go back over the others.
Okay.
Question they can ask.
Marilyn Cade, Chair of the Business Constituency. Richard Tindall, an individual. Richard, can you please fill me in on your exact affiliation?
I'm as individual as you can get. It's just me.
Robin Gross, Chair of the NCUC and the Non-Commercial Stakeholder Group. Paul Stahura, individual. Can you also fill me in more on that, please, Paul? On your affiliation? Paul? We'll come back to him. Frank Marsh, who is from the GAC.
No affiliation for Paul.
No affiliation for Paul. Thank you. Steve Pinkos, who is individual. Can you also fill me in, please, Paul? Please, Steve.
Yeah, on behalf of Demand Media.
Demand Media. Thank you. Bill Drake from the NCSG and on the GNSO Council. Evan Lebovich, who is ALAC. Chuck Gomes, who is the chair of the GNSO. Avery Doria, who is the chair of the NCSG. Biacon de la Chapelle, who is from the GAC. And would you like to have another affiliation, Biacon?
Not really.
Cheryl Langdonore, who is the chair of the ALAC, Stefan van Gelder, Registrar Constituency, who is the vice chair of the GNSO, and Carlton Samuels, who is at large. Is that right, Carlton?
He's ALAC.
ALAC, sorry.
And he's on
ALAC. And we have from staff Gisela Gruber-White, Marika Koenigs, Liz Gaster, and myself, Glenn de Saint-Gerie, have just let me see if anybody's joined in the mean, and David Olive, I'm terribly sorry. David Olive, and have I left off anybody else?
Glenn, this is Bertrand. Just one precision. Of course, GAC and French representative. Misunderstood your question.
Thank you very much, Bertrand. And Frank, shall I add your details too?
Equally, can I add me as a New Zealand representative, if you
New
wish?
Zealand. Thank you very much.
But it's M-I-C-H. I think you said Marsh. Marsh.
Yes. Marsh. Sorry, it was written Marsh on the... I'm the meeting view. Thank you, Chuck. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Glenn, and thank you, everyone else. Is there anyone on the call who is not into the Adobe Connect room?
I'm not. I haven't been able to get a connection this morning, unfortunately. I'm between sites, and so I've not actually been able to get onto the Internet at all where I am.
And Chuck, it's Marilyn. I'm not, but I hope it's temporary.
Okay.
Chuck, this is Evan. This is Evan. I've had some problems getting into Adobe Connect. I do have the ability to ping Cheryl to raise her hand on my behalf if necessary.
Okay. All right. And for those of you who aren't in the room or if you can't raise your hand, please speak up and I'll put you down on a list. Otherwise, I'll be watching the hands in the Adobe Connect room, so that we can handle people in order that way. So, all right. Well, the purpose of this call is really to look at the draft terms of reference. And thank you very much to Liz Gaster, who has incorporated just about all of the suggested edits into one document that's in the Adobe Connect room, and hopefully those that... aren't in Adobe can have the document itself loaded on your computer, so you can look at it that way with the red lines and so forth. And the goal, unless there are any objections to that, would be to go through those and discuss the various edits in order as we go through the document. As far as the status of this group, some of that is still up in the air. The NSO Council certainly has not authorized anything particular with regard to this group, because our meeting isn't until this next Thursday. We will be talking about that, and it's not as if the GNSO has to authorize community groups per se. There's really no procedures for community working groups, although we've done several of them, so we have some historical precedent. But the GNSO Council will likely have something to say in terms of official GNSO participation in this, and we'll know more about that after the meeting on Thursday for the GNSO Council. Cheryl, do you have an update in terms of ALAC participation?
Well, we're planning on, in terms of the ALAC, appointing a formal liaison to act in the standardised, now in the draft form, capacity at our meeting later today, as well as, I trust, as a result of today's meeting, have a final enough set of terms of reference for the ALAC to endorse those.
Thank you very much. And Frank, do you have anything to add on behalf of the GAC in Heather's absence?
Chuck, the only thing is that early this morning, my time, two comments came in. The first one's from other members of the GAC. As you know, I was reasonably happy with the text as it was. But Bertrand has come through with some suggestions which I think he regards as clarifying, and he can speak to those since he's on the call. The other comment came from Suzanne Sain, I circulated the gist of that to the list about 2 hours ago. It was basically a plea for the original wording from the GAC letter to go back into the first task, which I think, and Bertrand, you may be able to correct me on this because I haven't been able to confirm that, that it's the deletion of all objections that could result in intractable disputes was the concern there. But since Suzanne did not spell that out exactly, I have to go back to the original wording of the letter. Those are the two comments that come from the GAC.
Thank you very much, Frank. I appreciate that. And what I asked Frank to do in response to his email on the list was to bring the respective issues up as we come to them if there's not someone on the call to do that, so that we can cover them in order.
I didn't see that email, Chuck. I had to leave before I picked it up.
Oh, okay. So if you would just bring them up as we get to the various items, I would appreciate that, unless someone else brings them up. Certainly Bertrand, like you noted, is able to bring those his points up when we get to those areas. We do have a lot of people on the call, and that's great. But to keep things moving, I would ask people to be as brief and to the point as possible so that we can do that. I see Ken Stubbs' hand up. Ken?
Yeah, Chuck, just a real quick comment, please. If the co-chairs would take a look at the notes in the chat area, sometimes there may be questions or something that come up there that would be very easy for you to answer without going through the putting the hands up process. Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. If you do have something that you want to say for the group, I would appreciate you would raise your hand. I'll do the best to look at the chat. I find I'm not very good at that when I'm trying to manage a meeting. Cheryl can help me on that, and Liz and Marika probably, but I
understand. My comment was, what was the last precedent that they had for this kind of a community working group? And I was just trying to get it answered real quick. Yeah.
Sure, Ken. Let's talk about that. We've had community working groups with we have one going on right now with the JIG. We've had them with other things with regard to IDNs and so forth. So at the same time, as I think everyone knows, there is no such thing as a PDP in the bylaws for community working groups. So this is something probably that we all need to work together on going forward. But there are certainly lots of issues that we've dealt with in the past that go beyond just one particular supporting organization or advisory group. So I think everybody recognizes the need for that. How to do it is about all we have to go on is what we've done in the past. Go from there. That's not a very good answer, Ken, but hopefully that helps a little bit.
Thanks, Chuck. I appreciate it.
Hey, Chuck, this is Evan. Sorry, I can't put my hand up. I just had a quick...
You're next in the queue after Cheryl, Evan.
No problem.
Thanks. In fact, I had my hand up originally for Evan, but being the beast I am, I'm going to take advantage while I have the microphone. Thanks, Chuck. Just to a small add-on to what you were saying to Ken, of course, you know, there's nothing wrong with having the precedent set with something as clearly widely cross-community as this work group is, but it does mean that we have to remember that to establish terms of reference and good rules of engagement to begin with is very important. Frank may wish to follow up on this after Evan has his intercedents as well, but one of the things that we will all have to come to terms with is the very different ways that the various ACs and SOs have traditionally worked or will be working and putting our inputs into this process. Some of us work in a far more interactive, dynamic list ways. Others work in a text-based way. And some of us who are used to more in inverted commas, traditional PDP processes will find this is perhaps a slightly variation on a theme model. But from the advisory committee point of view, and again, Frank, please jump in here, both the GAC and the HALAC have a direct route to the board, so we could be giving our advice either separately or jointly, but it would be maladaptive if we weren't working hand in glove, certainly with the GNSO and with the wider community, and I think it's an important precedent to be set for something as important as this, even if it's not got a historical context for us to drag out from the past. Obviously, things like the CCTLD ID and Fast Track give us a small basis, but not exactly what we're trying to do here. Over to you, Evan.
Okay, I'll keep this quick, Chuck. You were asking about if there were other things to put in for ALAC. I just wanted to make sure that in the document that you sent out, the GAC statement is clear. The GNSO recommendation 6 is also there. There isn't anything in the documents that exist right now that actually mapped out the current ALAC thinking on this. There have been some submissions made, and I was going to suggest putting in the statement that was put in on MAPO from the summit in Mexico City, which I think was pretty clear and really hasn't changed. The position hasn't really changed significantly since then. So I would actually suggest, if possible, in the opening doc that you put out, if you might want to put in a reference to that as well.
So, Evan, you're suggesting that we add, looking at the, and I know you can't see it in the Adobe Connect, but there are 5 references in there right now, one that was added in the last few days. You're suggesting adding a 6th reference to the document you're talking about.
Correct. Simply because, I mean, at this point, the GAC statement is well known. Rec 6 is well known. The ALAC position is not.
Okay, no, I'm not arguing with it, I'm just clarifying.
Yes.
So, Marika, do you need Evan to send you the link to that, or are you okay with what he's asking?
It's Liz, I do
need... We'll have our staff send it to Marika, it's not a problem.
Okay, Liz.
And Liz, are you do you have the pen, or does Marika?
It's Liz, I do.
Okay, thanks, Liz, sorry about that. Okay, so, thank you, Evan. And... with regard to the different operating methods of the different organizations, let me, again, encourage people not to make assumptions that because somebody, a particular organization hasn't said something that they automatically are okay with what's been said. Heather was quite clear to Cheryl and I that, for example, the different methods that the GAC use, that there may not be heavy participation on these calls by GAC members. I'm very happy that there are GAC members on this call, but that more of their contributions may come via the list. So just realize that we all function a little bit differently in our various organizations and respect that.
Chuck, it's Frank here. Could I just add one thing to that?
Please do, Frank.
It's very important to realize that my role is to try to coordinate GAC responses. It is not in any way to speak on behalf of the GAC. Nobody can do that except in terms of GAC statements. So I can interpret what GAC may mean or what reactions may come from the GAC, but I cannot speak on its behalf. It has to be clearly understood.
Thank you, Frank. That's very, very good to share. And... and let me say on my behalf, as chair of the GNSO Council, other than what's already been approved by the Council with regard to the recommendations and so forth, I also do not have, excuse me, any authorization to speak on behalf of the GNSO. So I'm going to try and interpret what's already been done by the GNSO appropriately, but please feel free to check me on that.
Chuck, it's Marilyn. Maybe, if I might just suggest that maybe really for the record that we just verify, we just state that all parties participating on this list are participating in their individual capacity and not speaking for any group, put that in the record and leave it until someone changes that.
That sounds like a good idea, Marilyn. And in fact, if one of the leaders of any of the organizations does have authority to make a statement on behalf of their organization, clarify that when you do that. Otherwise, we will assume individual contributions. Any other comments in that regard? Okay.
I think Stefan Van Gelder has his hand raised.
Well, I probably should call on him then. Stefan, go ahead.
Thanks, Chuck. Yeah, I just wanted to... thanks, Bethan, for helping out there. I just wanted to come back to one of the things that Cheryl was saying. I think it's important... Chuck touched on this at the beginning of the call. I think it's important to... state that for, as far as the GNSO is concerned, this group is a bit of an anomaly so far. It's been put together very quickly in an obvious and real desire to get cross-community communication going. But as Chuck mentioned, there has not been any discussion within the GNSO, any real discussion on this group. We have a GNSO council meeting on Thursday, so that will probably take place there. And the GNSO, I think, would want everyone to be very careful with any attempt at looking at Recommendation 6 and trying to modify that in any way. And certainly before the GNSO has had a chance to discuss this group's existence, I think it would be... I think the group needs to be wary of going in that direction.
Chuck, it's Marilyn. Can I make a clarifying comment, please?
Okay.
I'd like to clarify that I think Stefan is referencing the GNSO Council, not the GNSO. The GNSO is the sum part of the constituencies and the stakeholder groups, and I fully expect the comment from the GNSO Council, but when we say GNSO, the broader term. So can I just clarify that, Stefan, you were actually referring to the GNSO Council?
That's correct, Marilyn.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marilyn. Thank you, Stefan. Liz.
Thanks, Chuck. I just want to ask whether you think that the terms of reference should be modified to capture Marilyn's point about the individual membership, and I had previously, in response to a question on the list from Michele, inserted under group membership and leadership the phrase including individuals, and you could see that if you scroll down to page 3, but we could change that language to say, you know, including, or leave that language and then say every participant will be acting in an individual capacity unless otherwise stated. If that capture, I just want to make sure we don't lose Marilyn's thought if people are expecting it to get inserted into the document.
Thank you very much, Liz. That sounds like a good idea to me. Is there anyone on the call who would object to that?
Quite the contrary, Chuck. I had my hand up to say that would be a very good idea. And what's scary, Liz, is you're obviously channeling my thoughts. I'm highly impressed. while I have the floor, however, though, just back to Stefan's comments, I don't think that work put towards this these terms of references and our conversations and the list activity so far is in any way, shape or form going to be wasted, because even if the GNSO Council decides to withdraw their interest or activity in this work group, I'm fairly confident that the advisory committees to the board will continue.
Thank you, Cheryl. Now I don't have to call on you. appreciate that. Not seeing any other hands or hearing anyone else, nor did I hear any objections, so Liz, your suggestion is accepted. Right now, let's take a look at the reference documents. There are four reference documents there. There were four, and one additional reference was added as a number 5, which is the ICANN Articles of Incorporation. I think that came from Bertrand.
Yep.
And And anybody object to that being added as a reference? And does anyone object to adding a sixth document as suggested by Evan? Okay. Thank you very much. Going on to the name of the group, there hasn't been any discussion in that. Unless anybody has an issue on that right now, we'll move right past that.
And Chuck, it's Liz. I'm capturing all of everyone's edits. I'm not doing it real time in Adobe Connect, but I am doing it as we speak, and I'll send around an update that reflects this after the call.
Thank you very much, Liz. excuse my voice. Going on to the purpose of the working group, there have been some edits there. The word primary was deleted. A phrase at the end of that first paragraph was added that says, while protecting internationally recognized freedom of expression rights. Just stopping at that paragraph, any concerns or suggestions with regard to that paragraph? Hearing none and seeing no hands, going on to the next paragraph, note that after recommendation 6, clause, nor to revisit other established recommendations was added. And going on in that paragraph after the GAC, simply added the at-large advisory committee without affecting
If I could just explain this edit, Chuck, because there were actually three proposals, this first phrase. Originally, the language said preserving, and it said with the objective of preserving. Then one or two people suggested to change it to with the objective of maximizing, and then a couple people suggested alternatively to say without affecting. So there are actually, although it's difficult to see here, three potential options that have been proposed for this phrase.
So those three options, would you repeat those three options, Liz, please?
Sure. Sorry, it doesn't come out very well in the red line. But the first way it could be phrased, the way it was originally, was with the objective of preserving, and then, of course, we have to get to the next phrase, but... Then the other option B is with the objective of maximizing, and the third option is without affecting, and then the phrase that follows.
And that's the universal resolvability, correct?
We've got then several edits for the next part, because what it originally said was the stability and integrity of universal stability, integrity, and universal resolvability of the DNS. But as you can see there, we also had a recommendation from Bertrand to add the additional phrase, the objectivity of the evaluation process is noted in Principle 1, established rights. Or sorry, that was Milton, I think. Milton's suggestion, sorry. Established rights as noted in Principle G and the stability and integrity of universal resolvability of the DNS. And then you'll see quite a bit of comment also about the phrase universal resolvability. So there are actually several things to discuss in this paragraph.
Mm-hmm. And before I call on Ken, who has his hand up, Marilyn, could you share the comment that's in on the screen, but some of them don't see it. You probably don't either. The one, your suggestion there?
Yes, thank you. I think we all suffer from being insiders, and... In one place, we use the word principle one, and another place, we use the word recommendation. That may all be very clear to you as an insider, but actually, we should just, when we say principle one, we need to note what we're referencing. Because when you read, you know, references, we don't want people to have to go back and look in a reference to see what principle one. So my point was just, when you reference principle one or later you reference recommendation, what is the document that's tagged to?
So in those cases, I believe the document is the new GTLD report, final report, correct?
I think that's right, but, you know, the term, so we could put that in a footnote, we could, but we use the word principal, then we use the word recommendation. If we go back over to the previous paragraph, we say the purpose is not to revisit intended aim of recommendation six, nor to recommend other to other established recommendations. I have no, I'm assuming we mean in the DAG, but actually that's because we're insiders that we assume that.
So yeah, it's not actually the DAG itself. I don't, well, the DAG, of course, references the final report of the GNSO, but it's actually, I believe, in all of those cases, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, the a final report of the, that was approved by a supermajority by the GNSO Council and sent to the board and later approved by the board.
You're probably...
Chuck, this is Stefan.
Yeah.
That is correct. You're referencing, when you're talking about either the principles or the recommendations, you're referencing the GNSO's final report, which came out in August 2007.
So all I'm asking for is just say that, because there's also in item four, GAC principles.
Yes. Thank you, Marilyn. I think the point's well taken. Liz, you have that, right?
Yes, I do.
And just for those, and Ken, I'm coming to you right away here. For those that aren't familiar with the final report approved by the council, it basically had three categories of items. One of them was principles, one of them was recommendations, and one of them was implementation guidelines. So that's just for those who may not be familiar with that. Ken, please. Ken Stubbs, you're on.
I apologize, Chuck. I couldn't tell whether you were calling me. First of all, I want to reinforce what Marilyn said. It's extremely important, especially in the terms of reference area, that we be very specific, because this is going to get looked at by a lot of people who are not familiar with all the abbreviations and all the references. Secondly, I'd like to go back now, if it's all right with you, to the edits and so forth. And there's a comment opposite the various edits that says LG1. I'm not exactly sure what that means, but the comments that are made in there, I think, I would very much like to support the concept that we really do not have universal resolvability in the DNS today, and we have to acknowledge the fact that politics has a significant bearing on some of this. So I think we have to acknowledge this in the term of reference. Just my personal feeling. Again, thank you.
So, Ken, just to clarify then, it sounds like a point I could make from what you said is that preserving universal resolvability might not be the right way to say it, because in some cases there is not. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think we have to acknowledge it. Either that or we have to more clearly define what we're referring to as universal resolvability. You know,
yeah.
I just don't want somebody coming along saying that we're pushing an agenda that's inconsistent with the approach that the members of the, let's say, the members of the GAC have towards resolvability. You know, and the right of each country to act in what it considers to be its best interest in terms of managing resolvability. I guess that's the point I'm trying to make. And if I'm off base, somebody slap me down here. Thank you.
No, Ken, good input. Thank you. Aubrey.
Yeah, thanks. In this case, I think I want to sort of endorse what Ken has said and perhaps go a little bit further. I think the notion that there is universal resolvability is very arguable at this point, whether there is or there isn't. I think many of us would argue that ship has long since sailed. And also, I mean, when we try to insist on it, it's not just countries, it's companies, it's families. I mean, the ability to make a decision that you want to make some part of the network unresolvable in some area that is within your control is as much a right as being on that network. And so for us to sort of say we are going to try and enforce some notion, some standard of universal resolvability and elevate it almost as if it was one of our bylaws, like stability or security, is, as I think, a very dangerous thing for us to do. And, I mean, I would prefer that we didn't have that notion in this document at all. But if we do have that notion in this document, basically I would suggest the wording that I propose, which is without affecting. So that those of us that think there is no such right of it, we agree with that, it doesn't affect it. And you know, those that perhaps think that, as opposed to spending a lot of time arguing over whether there is, there isn't, there should be, there shouldn't be, because I really don't think that is the purpose or the right, that this group is not the right place to discuss whether universal resolvability is a goal for ICANN. Thanks.
So Aubrey, if I could ask a favor, would you complete the thought without affecting, how would you word the whole thought there in this paragraph?
Okay, I mean, I would personally end it without affecting the objectivity of evaluation process and established rights, as noted in Principle G, and the stability and security of the DNS. So, would basically be what I would do, but I understand that we're responding to the GAC letter, and if we have to include the words universal resolvability in the terms of reference of this, let's just not treat it like bylaws, and let's just not treat it like something that is known and agreed upon.
Thank you very much. Bertrand.
Well, thank you, Chuck. I'd like to follow up on what Aubrey has said, because I think she does have a point, and I don't think anybody, and I don't want to speak on behalf of the GAC, but my understanding is that, indeed, universal resolvability, whatever we put behind this, is clearly not established today in the bylaws or in the documents or in anything as a principle of the same level of clarity as the stability, integrity of the DNS. At the same time, what I understand from the discussions within the GAC is that it is a very core element of the angle and the analysis or the objectives that the GAC wants to keep in mind in terms of aiming for as much universal resolvability as possible. So I think, without getting into the debate at that stage, in order to put it in the right place, maybe it would be possible to formulate this by putting it higher in the paragraph that would say, to develop implementation guidelines that will address the concerns expressed by the Governmental Advisory Committee, comma, including regarding universal or the objective of universal resolvability, comma, and the GAC and the ALAC, and then the rest could be either without affecting or preserving, because then there is no problem. But it is true that it is not appropriate to put universal responsibility, I believe, as being in a recommendation of sort, because the reality is that it is not. So moving it up would clearly attribute it to the GAC as a concern and an objective, and avoid probably what Aubrey was saying would be upheld.
Thank you, Bertrand. Aubrey, you want to react to that? Does that sound like something that's okay?
I'm not quite sure I understand exactly how the paragraph would read. I think moving it out of that sentence is indeed a good idea. I'm not sure how the rest of it would read, though. I didn't quite mentally parse it correctly, but thanks.
Okay. Do you want me to repeat?
Go ahead, Bertrand.
So if you could look at the end of the first page, I read the whole paragraph. for Liz. The purpose is not to revisit the intended aim of Recommendation 6, nor to revisit other established recommendations, but rather to develop implementation guidelines that will address the concerns expressed by the Governmental Advisory Committee. And here you would insert a member between commas that says, including the objective of universal resolvability, comma, and then you continue, and the ALAC and the At-Large Advisory Committee, comma, without affecting the objectivity of the evaluation process, principle one, established rights, principle G, and the stability and integrity of the DNS, period. And universal stability, resolvability would be removed from that very part and move upwards as a specific concern of the GAC or specific objective for the GAC.
That help, Aubrey?
Almost, yes. Can I speak again on it? Or
yes.
There's a bunch of other
yes,
okay. I think that can work. I think something like perhaps not the principle because, again, you know, what principle, you know, getting back to Marilyn's thing, so it might be their principle for universal resolvability. And if we're doing a getting your primary concern bracketed beside the government advisory committee, I would also wonder whether, you know, and I would just ask this question of ALAC, whether they would have, and the ALAC advisory committee, and whether they have a similar principle that they need to have in there as a parallel construction sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, I think it's a good idea. Thanks.
Bertrand, any further response?
Yes, just one precision. I purposefully, and once again, I cannot speak for the whole GAC, but I purposefully did not use the term principle of universal resolvability. I used and suggested the objective of universal resolvability.
Is that better, Aubrey?
Yeah, am I still on? Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you are.
Keep in mind, once Liz pulls all this together, that we'll have a chance to tweak it a little bit more, but hopefully we can get the main gist of where we're at and where we have at least some rough consensus on the call today.
And Bertrand, it's Liz. Would you keep the parenthetical then and move it up to the GAC phrase?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Thanks. Got it.
I can send you the explicit formulation if you want.
Yeah, I think I've got it, but thanks. Great.
Thank you very much for that good exchange. Now, I'm going to make this comment once, and we won't have to keep doing it. The plan is to follow through on Marilyn's recommendation and identify the document either in a footnote or whatever. Let's not worry about the exact wording to do that in this conversation today, but let's assume that will happen in the next version, okay? Ken, is your hand? Oh, your hand's down now. Okay. Bertrand, is your hand still up?
No. Sorry, I have to take it off.
Okay. No problem. I'll just ask just to make sure. Does anyone have any objections to this? Understanding that we're all going to get to see it in writing after this meeting. Okay. And for those again, let me encourage those from your different groups to test this language off other people if you think others may have concerns so that we get as large a buy-in as possible and address people's concerns. I think then we can go on to the next paragraph, the working group task, and there's an intro paragraph there where it says the overall objective of Rec 6 Community Working Group is to develop recommendations for an effective objections procedure that both recognizes the relevance of national laws, including laws protecting freedom of expression, and effectively address the strengths to raise national, cultural, geographic, religious, and/or linguistic sensitivities to the extent possible, period. Let's stop right there. Any concerns about that wording? Okay. Then the specific tasks are, and notice that task one was crossed off because it was suggested that, by some that that be deleted. But I believe, Frank, that that was a concern by someone in the GAC. Is that correct?
Unfortunately, Suzanne, she sent through, didn't specify exactly which wording she was concerned about having changed. And all I can do is go back to the deletion of it's very difficult. The only thing that's been deleted from there is morality and public order, and I think we've probably covered that issue. The GAC, in fact, has argued that out of existence. So to be clear, unclear, Chuck, I am not entirely clear what it is that Suzanne was concerned about in there. That, to me, reads well. I don't know, Bertrand, if you have anything to add to that. You saw Suzanne's comments just as I did.
Go ahead, Bertrand.
Yeah. Actually, I just had a discussion on a separate topic this afternoon with Suzanne, and I'm able to give some highlights. Her major concern was that as the use of the term internationally agreed principles of morality and public order was what is causing problem, she was a little bit concerned that this formulation as the task number one seemed to imply that we were not trying to reconsider or find a better formulation, and so she wanted somehow to make sure that we are not completely stuck by the current wording of the resolution of the recommendation 6. But in the course of the discussion, she agreed that basically this was not intended to mean that we should spend time in the group trying to reword the recommendation 6, because we need to be looking forward and not backwards. What she wanted to make sure is that in our collective understanding and in the document of the term of reference themselves, it is clear that the problem that we have had was the use of the term universally agreed principles of morality and public order, which is what is making things not implementable. So without rewriting the recommendation 6, she wanted to make sure that if this first task is not put in the document, we do understand that what we're trying to do is maybe to take a slightly different angle, which was the reason, for instance, why the GAC has used the term sensitive strings or and so on. But that's the basic understanding. So after our discussion, my understanding, and she will have to confirm, of course, is that there is no problem if this line is suppressed, provided that we do agree or do understand that we need to find an angle that is better than the expression morality and public order, which was the origin of the problem.
So
I hope I'm clear.
That was very good and very helpful, I think, Bertrand. I think then that, in my opinion at least, it's fair to assume then that the concern that Suzanne was expressing could be dealt with regard to how the international standards of morality and public order come into the dispute resolution procedures in what was task 2, now task 1, in the thing. So I think that's a fair assumption, but I'll ask you and Frank to confirm that with Suzanne and see if that works.
Yes, it's got to be very clear that the problem is that there are no internationally agreed standards for morality and public order. That's the critical issue here. There are no international standards. And so anything which reflects that there might be or that's a reference point for somebody to work to is inappropriate.
Art, let me ask a question, Frank, if I can there. And I know this was raised, I think, by Milton in some of the list discussion, but another person. But are there international standards or norms with regard to any of these issues that come into play with regard to this topic?
No, there aren't.
Okay. That was a...
That's a clear answer.
Okay. All right. I don't have any further question. He answered my question.
Chuck, this is Bertrand.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, just to chime in specifically, what I understood in the discussion with Suzanne is that she clearly didn't mean or want to mean that the group should devote time to rewriting recommendation 6, which I think was a concern by some members of the group. So the idea is that we have a problem with the words morality and public order as such, which actually the GAC never used in its principles. And part of the work of the group will be to find the appropriate formulation and angle, but not to devote time to trying to reword a recommendation that has come from the GNSO and that should not be the main subject. As a matter of fact, the beginning of the document is already using the implementation of Recommendation 6 and procedures for addressing culturally objectionable or sensitive strings, I think is sufficient in my understanding of my discussion with her for Suzanne.
Thank you. Alan?
Yeah, can we fix the problem here of saying that replacing these terms is one of the possible ways of getting around it, but not should not be our focus, is change the term from recommend to consider?
And where at, Alan?
In number one.
Oh, in other words, keep number one, the original number one.
I'm not sure it should be the first item, but keep that sentence. But instead of recommend, which is a definitive statement saying we must do this, consider, which says if we can come up with some neat words that keeps Recommendation 6 but uses words that are acceptable to all, fine, that's one solution. But it may not be the only solution.
Well, I'm sorry, it's Marilyn. Tell me where you are.
He's back on the Recommendation 1, Marilyn, that was crossed out.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Sorry.
Because the focus of the disagreement with it seemed to be that we should not focus on that.
Yeah.
It's
easy for me to relate to what you're saying,
yeah.
Alan, because when I worked on helping draft just the first cut of these terms of reference for consideration by the group, I was kind of hoping the same thing that you're saying. I could tell you, though, that there has been, and you've seen it, I think, reaction in the council and by some staff that may not be a doable task.
I understand, but I was really asking the question of Bertrand and or Frank, does that possibly address Suzanne's concern while still keeping it as a possibility? I'm not particularly advocating, I'm just suggesting.
Thank you.
Chuck, this is Stefan. Can I just react to that, please?
Go ahead.
Thank you. I think the solution proposed by Frank and Bertrand was actually quite elegant and was a way to avoid any kind of issue with any possible intent to revisit Recommendation 6. If you put Article 1 or Item 1 back in with any wording, and I'm surprised that Alan, as a GNSO council member, would even suggest that, then I think we are going to be going against what the GNSO Council at this stage might find acceptable. I think I want to thank both Bethel and Frank for making such an elegant suggestion, and I think that is eminently workable.
Thank you, Stefan. Aubrey.
Yeah, hi. I guess I'm uncomfortable with sensitivity-oriented language. In one place, we already have an objection procedure on things that are cause cultural harm to a particular cultural group, and I bringing this recommendation 6 in close to that strikes me as a problem. The other thing is, once we start getting into the notion of sensitivity, we start to really have problems with, you know, basically the freedom of expression principle in this statement, because sensitivities is such a subjective thing and such. Now, we may say that there is no morality and public order defined internationally, but there certainly are certain illegalities and certain criminal things that have been defined. And perhaps rooting ourselves in that instead of cultural sensitivities may be a way to better understand the morality and public order, that it's things that have been either by one region or globally in some set of laws declared illegal. But to go beyond that to sensitivities, again, brings us in direct conflict to anything that would be freedom of expression. Thanks.
Thank you, Aubrey. Now, if I'm understanding you correctly, it sounds like you're actually jumping ahead, and that's okay, to how we may look at the dispute process itself to see if we can improve that. Are you suggesting anything specific with regard to the terms of reference here? And if so,
what I was suggesting was including words like based, to include notions like based on cultural sensitivity. And maybe I misunderstood what was being the solution that was being proffered, but I thought that there was involved in the solution were the words cultural sensitivities and such. If that wasn't the case and I misunderstood that, then forgive my comment. I'll come back with it later. But
well,
anything that mentions cultural sensitivities as that presents a problem.
So let's go up to the intro paragraph, Aubrey, because that's where the word is used.
Okay.
So if you look at the intro paragraph there, you see, and effectively addresses strings that raise national, cultural, geographic, religious, or linguistic sensitivities, et cetera.
Right, and I guess that's wrong, because that was not Recommendation 6 that did that one, was it?
I think that's language that comes, and correct me, those of you from the GAC, but I think that's language.
Yeah, GAC principles.
The GAC concern.
Yes.
I see.
If I may remember, Chuck, to include the possibility of the edit, which is redlined, to the extent possible.
Mm-hmm.
After that.
That's
a very important set of words.
Does that qualification help, Aubrey?
Well, to some extent it does, because that word means it may not be possible to do it at all. So, yes. I guess it does, but okay, I'll come back to this. I just...
Chuck?
Yes, Bertrand?
Yeah, this is Bertrand. Just to come back to 2 points that were raised. The first one is, I think I understand the concern if anything regarding the first line, recommend alternative terms and so on, is put as the first item. So in any case, this series of bullet points should start with the second one, review the dispute resolution, so da da. However, I think there was a good suggestion with the word consider, and I sent on the chat a proposal for what about as a second item, before deliver a report with recommendations, it could be consider possible alternative formulations to universal principles of morality and public order. Because universal principles of morality and public order is not in Resolution 6. It's only in the DAG. The problem the GAC has is the notion of universal principles, or whatever the exact DAG formulation is. It's not to revisit the wording of the resolution itself, of the recommendation itself. So if we put in the second bullet consider possible alternatives to international principles of morality and public order, this is something that we will probably will have to do, because that's the element that we're discussing. And by not putting it in the first place, it shows that we're reviewing the existing mechanism, and in this course, we might try to find alternative formulations, if possible. But
so,
to the DAC, not
so
to the recommendation.
Right, and I think you just said something that's really critical in my opinion. That is that we would be considering alternatives in the DAG language,
yes,
not in the recommendation, and I think that needs to be clear.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Now, is anybody opposed to adding that as a second task? Along those lines.
Chuck, this is Stefan. I agree that it needs to be clear. If you're referencing something, then please indicate what it is you're referencing. And if it's the GAC principle, then it needs to be in there. I fully agree. If it's done that way, then I don't think it really does give rise to any problems with Recommendation 6.
Thank you, Stefan. Does anybody object to that approach? Okay. So let's try that. Liz, are you okay with the direction there?
Right. So let me just review quickly. We're going to switch the order of 1 and 2, and we're going to revise the language of what is now 2 to say consider instead of recommend, and to insert international principles of before morality and public order. But what I don't know. Oh, and then in the draft applicant guidebook. But
that's critical. That last part's critical.
Okay.
Now, I'm not sure we're replacing any language of morality and public order at this stage, though. Restate what you would put there, please.
Okay, before I do, are we going to use the term standards or terms?
I'd like to speak on that, if I might.
Go ahead, Marilyn.
Guys, the use of the word standards has a lot of implications, and I guess I'll recognize that Aubrey's on the phone and knows this as well as I do. Standards imply, you know, we're talking about terms, and if we say standards, we're going to get into a debate about whose standards are they? Approved standards. Are they voluntary standards? Terms, I think, is a more neutral term, more neutral word.
Does anybody object to the use of the word terms?
This is Evan. I think it just points out the real difficulty of dealing with this in the first place because of the lack of standards. I mean, what we're talking about, terms can change. I mean, we know they change from country to country, but they can change from, you know, from province to province, state to state, and year to year. I mean, this is at the heart of some of the difficulties with this.
I understand that, Evan, but for right now, we're just trying to define the terms of reference. You're actually getting into the discussion of what, you know,
yeah,
the difficulty we're going to have when we go down that path. Understand that, but are you okay with the language that was just proposed? In fact, Liz, would you want to repeat where we're at right now on that?
Yeah, I also made one slight grammatical suggestion here. It would say, consider a possible alternative to the term, quote, international principles of morality and public order, unquote, in the draft applicant guidebook as appropriate.
So, Evan, first to you.
Yeah.
As far as a term of reference, is that okay?
We're not going to get very far if we don't, so I guess there's not much to it.
Okay, thanks. appreciate your cooperativeness.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. Does anybody object to that?
Chuck, this is Mary. Can I speak?
I'll have to read that.
Yes, you may, Mary.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, and just this whole discussion has really proven how difficult this process is going to be. Is there anything wrong with simply not having a separate sub-term of reference for this and saying in what is now the specific task number one to say review the terminology and dispute resolution procedures related to Recommendation 6?
Interesting idea. Somebody want to comment? Now, I see some hands that have been up for a while. Bertrand and Alan, are you still wanting in the queue?
No.
No,
what about
sorry.
What about
I'll
Mary's
take it down.
Suggestion?
And Chuck, if I can explain it, it has something to do with the comment I put in the chat box earlier. And the way I read Recommendation 6 is that it's pretty open-ended. It doesn't presume to suggest that there are standards for morality and public order, simply that if there are such standards, that the strings not contravene them. And so to the extent that Rec 6 is fairly bland and open-ended, I would prefer to use terms of reference similarly.
Thank you, Mary. now, what is a... Adobe Connect expertise is, what's a check mark? Oh, you're agreeing. Is that right, Aubrey? Is that what the check mark means?
That's what it means, agree.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's the first time I've encountered it, sorry.
But yes.
Thank you, Aubrey, for that. That's a nice, concise way of doing that. I appreciate that. So does anybody disagree with Mary's suggestion? In other words, not having a task 2 that Liz was formulating, but instead just change task 1 to review the terminology and the dispute resolution procedures, et cetera. Anybody object to that? I'm seeing lots of agreement on there. Well, lots. There's 3 people that agree. 4? Good. Okay. I'm not hearing anybody objecting to it. So, Liz, are you okay, you got that?
Yes, I do. Review the terminology and the dispute resolution procedures related to Recommendation 6. Blah, blah, blah. Right?
And that specifically references the guidebook, so that's very good.
This is good.
Okay.
And there's no item 1, Liz.
What was that, Stefan?
There's no item
1. That is
1.
Item 1 now.
That becomes item 1. Just making
right.
sure Liz got that.
Yeah,
thanks.
Okay.
Got it.
Now, we have an item 2, deliver a report with any recommendations to the ICANN board.
Well, that's fair and reasonable.
Okay. Going on to not seeing any hands or any objections to that, let's go on to key assumptions. The following assumptions should guide the work of the REC 6 CWG. There were no comments on the first 3 items. Does anybody want to make any comments in that regard now? Going on then to item 4, there's some changes there. There is no internationally agreed definition of morality in public order, nor of national, cultural, geographic, religious, and linguistic sensitivities, which I think was Frank's answer to the question I asked earlier, that there aren't any. Anybody have any problems with that language there or suggestions? I see a hand. Aubrey.
My hand was actually for the other one. I was just being slow.
Oh, that's all right. Go ahead.
Okay. Since this is a question. Since we started changing our language to talking about the draft applicant guidebook references as opposed to the recommendation 6, is it better to say that DAG paragraph whatever or the DAG resolution for response to recommendation 6 is what's raising the public policy issue at this point and not the recommendation 6 itself, which
uh-huh.
has been around for years and forever?
Cheryl.
I just needed to point out at that point in the conversation to Avery that since 2007, ALAC views have been quite specifically in Recommendation 6 language. So we might be unwrapping a little bit of a big ball of wool if we do that.
Okay, because I thought your objections had been largely against the DAG. But okay, that's fine. Then I'll forget my remark.
Okay.
No. Thank
you. We've been objecting pre-dagging.
Okay. Going on then to item 5.
Chuck,
Okay, Bertrand.
Sorry, I should have raised my hand. Just on key assumption number two, instead of will satisfy, could we replace it by may satisfy all stakeholders? Because maybe we can find a solution that satisfies all stakeholders.
Anybody object to that? That seems like a straightforward and useful change. In other words, don't be too pessimistic, huh? Okay, got that, Liz?
Yes.
Anything else on 1 through 4? Going to 5, ICANN should conduct its activities in conformity with relevant principles of international law and applicable international conventions, period. Any comments or questions on that?
Which one are we on? 4?
5.
5, okay.
If you have something on 4, we can go back there. Okay. Stuart.
Yeah. Item 5 is really superfluous. I mean, it goes without saying that ICANN needs to follow its articles of incorporation. I really think it's just superfluous. They must.
So is there a problem stating it?
Yeah.
I guess not.
Who said yes?
Aubrey put a check there. Yeah, the problem I have with deleting it has nothing to do with, obeying its applicable international conventions. To say that ICANN's going to adhere to applicable international conventions seems to me a good thing to say.
So you're supportive of that statement being in there?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right, thank you. I just want to clarify. Bertrand.
Yeah, just to explain the comment on the side, I suggested, I think it's very useful that Robin suggested to put a line in there. I just suggest that it's better to take an exact quote of the Articles of Incorporation, and that's the only reason why I changed it. But I think it's worthy having it here.
Thank you. Any other thoughts on 5?
I have only one. It's Marilyn.
Go ahead, Marilyn.
So can I just verify, because I didn't get a chance to look this up. So we're saying that this phrase is drawn directly from the bylaws?
Yeah, Article 5, 4.
So we are taking, I will just note, we are taking a particular bylaw in seclusion that, if the point is ICANN needs to abide by its bylaws, I guess the only thing I'm focusing on is, or I don't want to get in a rat hole of discussion and debate about what the relevant principles of international law are and what the applicable international conventions are.
So do you understand that concern? Do you think then that creates a problem with this assumption?
Well, if the point is that ICANN should adhere to the requirements of its bylaws, I don't know if we would single out a single article.
It seems to me, and this is just my own personal opinion, that there are some people on the list that have felt like this. There was some value in citing this particular one related to the subject. But that's just my own reading of some comments I saw.
I read them, and there may be. I just am asking, if there, I don't want us to find ourselves in a situation that we are singling out one element in a bylaw and ignoring other relevant bylaw principles.
Well, Let me go a little different. It's kind of connected, so bear with me on this. My concern with that number five is the use of ICANN. What is ICANN? Is it really ICANN that we mean there that should conduct its business? Obviously, the board has to follow its bylaws, okay? But is this the... is there a better term than ICANN there? Certainly, this working group should do that, right? I don't know if it's just that.
But Chuck, we are providing, we're trying to provide advice to ICANN. So this is an assumption that's going to guide our work.
Right. So, Marilyn, do you have a specific change that you would suggest for consideration by others on this one?
I think I'm going to have to look at the bylaws as a whole to say, hey, when I saw it added, I wasn't, you know, I'm not so much objecting to the concept as wondering if we are leaving some balance out by not referencing the bylaws as a whole.
Okay. So would you look at that after this call, and if you have a specific suggestion, just send it to the list?
Sure.
That sounds good. Any other? I see some hands up. Liz.
I just had a suggestion to see whether this would accomplish what Marilyn wanted. I just throw it out there if it's helpful, which is to say instead of saying ICANN should conduct its activities, to say something like the new policy should be implemented in conformity with.
Ah. Hmm. Or should be consistent with. Liz, thank you. I will take a look at that.
Okay, and then you'll send a suggestion to the list. Okay?
Hello?
All right. Did you have something else, Marilyn?
Yep.
Okay. Robin.
Yeah, thanks. I wanted to talk about why I inserted the language about ICANN recognizing internet or respecting internationally recognized legal principles. And that's because, you know, ICANN holds itself out as an international governance organization. We are charged with the global public interest here. So I think that puts a certain burden on us in making policy recommendations that we're going to follow principles, values of international law, show respect for those kinds of values, and we're not going to contradict them. We're going to try to draft policies that are in as much conformance as possible with existing international laws and principles. So I think that that's an important thing for ICANN as a global public interest organization, one that's charged with international governance, to recognize that there are these international legal principles out there. And we don't necessarily have to get into all of them because that's where we get into a lot of arguments, but to say that there are these internationally recognized legal principles out there and that ICANN's going to write policies that are in conformance with those principles. So that's why I think it was important to be there. Now, I understand Bertrand's addition here, and I'm okay with it. Largely, I prefer the original language, but I could live with the compromise that he suggested.
Thank you, Robin. Aubrey.
Yeah, I want to comment, I think, on Marilyn's issue about mentioning just one of the bylaws as opposed to all of them. And I'd like to use as an example the fact that we are forever and always mentioning the mantra of stability and security in what we're doing. And you know, those are in the bylaws. They're very important words to what ICANN does, and we mention them over and over and over again without also listing the rest of the bylaws. And I think in this particular case, I think that this part of the bylaws is especially important to bring out in this discussion. So I don't think that when people mention stability and security, they are saying, and because we've only mentioned stability and security, the rest of them don't count. And I think in the same way, because we're bringing this one out to the forefront, does not in any way say that the rest of them don't count. Thanks.
Thanks, Aubrey. Bertrand.
Yeah, I wanted to confirm, as I said in the chat, that it is indeed the Articles of Incorporation, not the bylaws. Stuart is right to remind us. And I follow Robin's rationale, and the reason why I believe it is important to have this here is because when we're discussing the general thread of what is now called morality and public order objections in the DAG, there are parts of the formulations that I believe will be not causing any problem because the GAC understands the references to international principles that have been mentioned. What was problematic and is problematic for the GAC is one of the elements of the list of things that can be referenced, and particularly the expression general principles of morality and public order. So this is intended to say that it is an assumption that has and is interesting to reiterate that the formulation of the Articles of Incorporation bring ICANN in its activities, including the new GTLD program, to take into account relevant principles of international law and applicable international conventions, because this is one of the only things that could be international principles, not of morality and public order, but general principles of international law and applicable international conventions is something that ICANN has voluntarily decided to put in its Article of Incorporation. And that was very well discussed at length, as Stuart well knows, in the independent review panel.
Thank you, Bertrand. Now, let's move on from that point. We're just about out of time, our scheduled time. We don't have too far to go. So what I'd like to do in our last couple minutes, going on from the rules of engagement and what's left, does anybody have, are there any, if you could just identify what, if you disagree with any of the edits that have been made, I just want to kind of quick survey how many more issues are going to require quite a bit of discussion or whether some of the changes are okay. So if you would raise your hand if you have any concerns about the remaining part of the document, I just want to get a quick view on that. And I'll give you a chance to glance through it. And a lot of the edits seem to be pretty straightforward, in my personal opinion. I'm not trying to do this. And all the appendixes, of course, is references from the DAG. So is it fair to assume that nobody objects to the remaining edits in the document?
Chuck, it's Marilyn. I don't object, but I have a question.
Yes, please.
Under the group membership and leadership, given the earlier discussion about individuals, is that insert now in need of, sort of clarification that all parties are, unless they otherwise state, are acting as individuals?
I'm not sure what you're asking.
Under group membership and leadership, the recommendation 6, blah, 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 will be open to volunteers from all ICANN supporting organizations and advisory committees who are willing to constructively contribute to the task of the group, comma, including individuals.
And it should include individuals. Yeah. So go ahead, Liz.
Well, I would suggest inserting that or leaving that, but also I added the next statement is participants will engage in their individual capacities unless otherwise stated.
Great. That was. I just wanted to be sure that was. I'm happy with leaving that. I just wanted to be sure that phrase.
LinkedIn, yeah.
Thank you.
That's good.
LinkedIn is good.
Yeah. Stefan.
What's the term, Cheryl?
No, I just saying link those two in. I wasn't giving you a term.
Okay.
Sorry, Liz.
Yep.
Stefan?
Yeah, thanks, Charles. I just wanted to ask a question there just to make sure I understand what's been said. Because the last sentence of that part of the document says that each of the organizations will provide an official liaison. So it sounds right. like we're saying, am I correct in assuming this? We're saying that everyone is acting as an individual, but there is official SO and AC participation, be it only through liaisons and making sure that the SOs and ACs are aware of what's going on. But no one on the group speaks in any official capacity. Is that what you're saying?
Well, step one, it would say that stating that is what they're doing. Yeah.
Sorry, you both spoke at the same time. I didn't understand.
Go ahead, Cheryl.
I said unless they are stating they are speaking on behalf of the AC or the SO.
Right. Thank you very much.
Anything else?
But the liaison would be tasked with that liaison role.
Okay, we're out of time, but I've got two hands up there, I think. Alan and then Richard. Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to add one clarification to that. I am presuming that a liaison may be speaking in their own right when they're not putting on their liaison hat. I don't think we want to preclude that. So.
I would agree with that.
Sorry, yes.
Yeah.
Of course.
Okay.
Richard.
Okay, just a second point, I just want to make clear that there are some people on the group like myself who aren't from any of the groups. We are purely individuals, so there needs to be some way in the membership to encompass us as well.
Yeah, and Liz, feel free to fix that language. That was a mistake. I responded, I think, on the list that it was intended to be open. I think, Liz, you're perfectly able to fix that so it's clear that it's not restricted to people from SOs and ACs.
Yeah, I think it's already fixed. If you look at the document in Adobe Connect, that part is fixed. What isn't fixed yet is Marilyn's addition, which I've captured in separately and we'll send around after the call.
So, Liz, then you will send around a link to a revised version of this with the edit. Please, everyone, let's get as much done on the list as possible. To see whether we're okay with these things, Marilyn's going to send some other language on that item 5.
Maybe. It may be that I don't have other language. But
she may say it's all wonderful.
Well, I'm assuming that the people on the call were comfortable with the edits, and the edits are still reflected in track changes in the preceding document, that I can accept these. I'll send you a clean copy shortly with these everything added that we've discussed. And people should feel free then to make any track changes on that version of things that still need to be updated.
And is this time okay for next week? Rather than doing another doodle?
I can't. Unless there's objections, we doodled and it was the most popular on the doodle. So
let's go ahead and plan a call the same time next week. Not sure what my status will be in that regard, but I will let you know after I get the
right down. I had my hand up, Chuck Cheryl, here for a very good reason, because I know my status will be in Beijing.
Okay.
So I'm not sure.
Is it okay, Cheryl?
So we'll just have to work around that.
Yeah, and we can coordinate. I'm going to be in Japan. I leave for Japan tomorrow, so for the rest of this...
Well, we'll be in almost the same time zone. That's really convenient.
I'll be back by next Monday, so... but we'll communicate. And, Frank, do you have anything to add as Heather's stand-in on this effort today?
Not at all, Chuck. I think it's gone extremely well.
Good. Well, again, please... encourage, and Bertrand, do the same thing, encourage the GAC participants to chime in if they have concerns of where we're at. I want to compliment everyone on this group and on this call today for what I thought was a very productive time, and I think we're pretty close to having something that the majority of us can live with and then hopefully do some constructive work in the weeks ahead. Thank you very much. And again, please participate in the list.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Chuck. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.